ruined Christmas," said Olivia with such venom that her mother didn't know whether to feel proud or irritated.
"Now, Olivia," said Sean, trying to pacify his daughter's histrionics, "it's only for one day, not even that long, and I'm sure he's very nice."
Olivia was having none of it.
"Mum, tell him he's spoiled everything by letting this stranger come here."
Jane looked between her husband and daughter with a deliberately neutral expression, layered with a heavy subtext of, "I totally agree, but I feel obligated to support my husband, however much I disagree with him." Decisively, and to make her point acutely felt, Jane raised one eyebrow and said, "I'm going to check on the roast," and with a flick of a tea towel was gone.
"Jane," said Sean, protesting, "it's your cousin's boyfriend's son who we have to put up for Christmas lunch. How was I supposed to know that when you said, 'That sounds lovely, doesn't it?' that you'd meant over my dead body?"
Jane, who was never wrong, but is very welcome to change her mind mid-conversation, thank you very much, poked her head around the door to the sitting room. "Only 42 years of marriage, you little shit!" And like Aladdin's genie, was gone again in a cloud of cinnamon-scented steam. Before more wrath could be poured on Sean from the adoring women in his life, the doorbell sounded.
"Ah!"
exclaimed Sean, jumping from his chair with delight, relief, and a sudden urge to have a little wee.
"That will be your brother with the visitor. Try your best to be nice."
Moments later, Olivia's brother and a scruffy-looking man about the same age as Olivia rolled into the sitting room. Olivia, who had been practicing withering looks for a good 25 years, sat forward and prepared to put 6 years of conservatoire training into a dirty look that would make the devil himself want to cuddle from his mummy. At that moment, the visitor looked up and said, in a heavy Eastern European accent, "Hello, my name is Ivo." Olivia sat and gawped for a good 23 seconds before blushing, closing her mouth, mumbling, dishy, and knocking over two glasses of orange squash which had been left in a position on the floor and which, to a normal human being, would have suggested a general intention of knocking them over at some point.
"All right, daughter, I think you've had enough. I'm sure Ivan doesn't want that sort of attention," said Sean. "I have brought the delicacy from my hometown to say thank you for having me very much. It is called passe légère."
"It's delicious," said Ivo, proudly unveiling a giant pyramid of small brown balls decorated with a white powder.
"Aha!"
shouted Sean.
"Chocolate!"
He added with glee at being presented with a tower of his favourite food group and being vindicated in bringing this stranger into their home on what was clearly a sensitive family occasion. Wasting no time on formalities, Sean pushed wife, daughter, daughter-in-law and son clear of the scene, paused to give the illusion of gentility and reverence, then stuffed five of the balls into his mouth and began chewing with an expression of ecstatic delight on his face.
"Truly delicious, thank you, Igor,"
Sean slurred between chomps.
"Bit chewy, not as good as Cadbury's, you know."
"I'm sorry, but these are not chocolate," said Ivo.
Sean's eyes froze, but his mouth reflexively carried on chewing.
"Passe légère is traditional Christmas pudding."
Sean's chewing slowed.
"Made from black treacle."
Sean's chewing accelerated, with a tentative smile spreading across his face. After all, black treacle was related to golden syrup, and anything made from sugar couldn't be all bad.
"Coating chestnuts."
Sean looked noticeably relieved. He would have preferred them to have been chocolate, but at least he could discreetly spit them out without drawing too much attention.
"And sauteed lamb's testicles."
The shock nearly killed Jane, partly because of the thought of someone serving up testicles in her house on Christmas Day. The main reason was that her erstwhile and brave husband had profusely vomited a large black mess on the sitting room carpet, which was a cream colour, and newly shampooed. She literally could have died.
"Oh my God, he's trying to poison us!" exclaimed Sean.
mopping his mouth with one hand and reaching for a bottle of port with the other. Who said Sean couldn't multitask? In the blink of an eye, Jane had a tea towel in one hand and a white vinegar spray of her own devising in the other. The stain was already a distant memory, and she instructed her husband to fill everyone's glasses with something exceptionally alcoholic and move them into the dining room.
"Well, I just had that horrible muck in my mouth," Sean said in a voice which was trying to elicit a bit of sympathy and the possibility of a Christmas kiss. "You'll have my slipper in your mouth if you don't get your arse in gear and stop being so bloody pathetic," was the only response he was going to get.
"Don't worry, Mum," piped in Olivia. "I'll look after Evo." And with no more thoughts of anyone else, she filled a pint glass with port, handed it to Evo, and settled into a space on a sofa that he was also occupying. Sean, who was still muttering about having a disgusting taste in his mouth and how he needed at least two more glasses of port and possibly a Harvey Wallbanger to nurse his taste buds back into health, stood up dramatically and said in a loud, booming voice,
"And now the entertainment!"
There was a collective groan from the crowd.
"I've prepared a festival of Christmas carols," he started. "But with a new twist, I've cleverly inserted Gilbert and Sullivan references in them."
Sean paused for applause, a drinks refill, another mince pie and the possibility of an OBE for services rendered to the entertainment industry, but got nothing, so he dragged himself over to the piano instead. Evo was already there.
"Excuse me, Igor, but we have a family tradition to uphold here. None of your Eastern European bagpipe strangling,"
Sean said, still clearly annoyed about the chocolate balls incident. Evo ignored Sean and began to play the most glorious music the house had ever borne witness to. The piano began to weep with joy. Olivia crawled over the back of the sofa just to be near the nourishing sound. She slipped on her way over the top, bringing the pianist crashing to the floor. Everyone rushed to help the flattened visitor, except for Sean, who stood back from the scene and took a sip of port, exchanged a conspiratorial nod with his son, and said,
"Well played there."
During lunch, Evo regaled everyone with tales of his exotic homeland, surviving wild boar attacks, spaghetti farming, and lettuce weaving, until the doorbell sounded around about the pudding course. It was Jane's cousin.
"I'm sorry we couldn't get here any sooner. The flights have been crazy. I hope Ivan hasn't been any trouble. He can play up in public sometimes," she said.
"We thought his name was Evo," said Jane.
"Everyone calls me Evo for short. Thanks for all the food. It's been epic," said Evo.
The room was stunned for a moment.
"Wait a bloody minute," said Olivia. "Where do you come from?"
"I'm from the valleys, love, ta-da," said Evo.
He gave them all his cheekiest and most exotic smile and jumped into Jane's cousin's car. Just as the car was pulling away, Evo wound down the window and shouted,
"By the way, Baslerger are chocolate truffles from a shop in Aberdare. They're chewy because there's licorice in them."
The car sped off the drive, and moments later, Sean vomited again on the sitting room carpet.
"That bugger's still trying to poison me,"